KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You want to get involved in the conversation in the noon o'clock hour. We will have our 21 Pilots ticket giveaway. Also, the Costco guys, AJ and Big Justice, will be in studio at 12:20. But right now, today is July 11th. It is 7-Eleven Day.
Oh, wow. How about that?
So you can get your free mini size Slurpee by going to 7-Eleven. I'm assuming they still do that. I probably should have checked that ahead of time. 877-881-1053. My question or a combo platter is, give us a sports opinion. And then what is your number one go-to item in the 7-Eleven? You can also hit us up on the Twitch and the YouTube, 877-881-1053.
Free Slurpee Day, Kevin. Yes. It actually is still in existence. So thank you, 7-Eleven, for taking care of us.
Okay.
First store opened in where? What year?
Is it in Dallas?
That is true.
I don't know the year.
1927.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about that?
I did not realize it
was. You're not as old as 7-Eleven.
That is true.
To get free Slurpee Day tongue tattoos? I'm sorry, what?
Oh.
Yep, they have them. 7-Eleven locations in Dallas as well.
Okay.
Tongue tattoo. Sports opinion. I think that Captain Keegan Bradley is doing it right. You know who Keegan Bradley is, Kevin?
Yes. What is he doing right?
He is telling everybody that if you're not in the top six, you can't expect to be in the Ryder Cup.
Oh, okay.
He said, if you're not in the top six, you can't expect to be on the team. And I think that this is the way that you should do it.
How many people are on a Ryder Cup team?
Exactly. So, Kevin, the point is, though, you got to take the best. Okay. You can't have people that are like, hey, I'm 630 in the world right now. And why am I not on the team? You narrow this field down quickly.
Feels like that person should know.
Don't make any promises to anybody. Oh, he's my friend. I have to let him on. Sorry. Okay. Be better. Are you playing damn good golf right now?
Okay.
Yes? Then you're on the team. If you're not, sorry about your bad luck. Go be better. Okay. Get on the driving range and fix your S.
Okay.
Did you have that for Forgiveness Friday or something?
No. We already did Forgiveness Friday.
First thing I do is, the reason I'm going into 7-Eleven is to get a Gatorade, to get a drink. Like I'm usually looking on what's new that might kind of taste like Lime Topo Chico, but isn't Lime Topo Chico that I might like. And then I just always settle for a Gatorade. But growing up, it was always, I'm going to get a yellow or orange Gatorade.
Greatest drink I've ever had in the history of my life was a yellow Gatorade that I purchased at 7-Eleven.
See?
When me and Brandon struggled to get to the car after we had gotten food poisoning at the Dallas Stars game.
I remember that.
And this was when we lived in an apartment with only one bathroom. And when you have more people than the number of toilets and you have food poisoning, it's not the most fun.
Somebody has to go in the sink.
Yeah. And, well, one of them's a kid, so,
the kid had to go in the sink.
He
didn't know.
That Gatorade, I would have paid at least $20 for it.
Yeah.
Which is actually sometimes convenience stores pretty close.
Now, in high school, on the way to school, it was get a Big Gulp, drop two Snickers bars into it, put the lid on it, and then buy your Big Gulp for 99 cents.
That is stealing.
Huh?
That is stealing. Which, I guess, when you're in high school and middle school, I can't say anything about.
Are you just mad because I didn't get caught? That's what you're really upset about? You're like, I got caught!
I know exactly.
I went back to the Honeywell every time.
I know exactly why I got caught.
Back there every time.
We got greedy.
I never got caught. I didn't get greedy.
We're working too small.
Okay. Working too small?
Yeah.
I should have been going for something bigger.
No, that's why you didn't get caught.
I gotcha.
You were smart about it.
From the from Seth Nissity. Corey, bringing back unethical life hacks.
Well, this is a good question. Corey, do you also get your gas at 7-Eleven since you're already there buying a Gatorade? I like the idea that he's like, no. I get my Gatorades here. I get my gas here. I get my taquitos here.
So, can I be honest?
You don't buy gas?
I stopped.
I don't know.
You know me. Always been about electric cars. There's the 7-Eleven near us is kind of sketchy.
Oh, no.
And so I don't go to that 7-Eleven. I did for a while, and I was like, I'm pretty sure there are card scanners on all these gas pumps.
Oh.
And most of the time, like, they wouldn't have gas or...
What?
Like, I'd show up, and they're like, all the pumps are covered in the yellow plastic.
Man, that is... You know what? Does that feel the same as that stupid tiny car that's in the spot, and you think the spot's open, and you turn, and you're like, oh, all the pumps are crowded. Some jerk is waiting in line, and you see that one open, and you're like, yes! And it's got that stupid bag on it.
Like, part of me wants to tell them, hey, if you're not going to have gas, just put a sign up and don't let me into the driveway area. But then I realize they want me to come in and buy Gatorade.
They do.
So I did sign up for racetrack points, and I am I'm a racetrack person now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
From the 817, Dak is going to throw for 6,000 yards this year. Hell yeah.
Then he's winning MVP. Oh, except for Joe Burrow throws for like 6,100 yards.
That'll be complicated. And then they said, give me that 3-hour pizza under the heat lamp. All right.
Dude, that crust, so firm.
There is. I don't know. I'm sure we have people listening right now. Either they've worked at these places or they are connoisseurs of the gas station. There's a sweet spot. And man, when you miss that sweet spot, you miss it bad.
Yeah.
That crust is like, it'll break a tooth.
Could break your tooth.
It'll like 1987 gum out of a baseball card pack. You're like, what happened?
Yeah.
Alec?
But it still has a flavor. It kind of reminds you of square pizza from school.
I could see that. I could. Alec, you have a sports opinion. And then what is your go-to 7-Eleven item?
Sports opinion, gentlemen. I hate how fast the Mavericks have reeled me back in.
Yeah.
I really do. Because they didn't do anything to earn it.
Nope.
But they're going to market it like they did. You know, it was all part of the plan.
Nico Fortune, has already told us that.
Yeah, he told us that Fortune favors the bold. And, Fortune just favors the numbers, if you ask me, because there's something called a lottery that you won. But hey, in the end, the final product is they got me buying their merch again. I'm wearing it today because I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I want real basketball to start again because I'm really excited for this team to get healthy and see what it looks like towards the end of the year. If we hopefully get Kyrie back, I think you're going to see some really fun hoops from this team yet again. And guess what? They're going to reel me back in the same weird ways that the Cowboys do every single year. They give you that little glimmer of what could be.
See,
what might be.
And that's one of the things when I didn't think Mike's Cowboys cycle was inaccurate. I thought the heart behind it was inaccurate. Like, he made it describe like all these Cowboys fans were being phony and saying they wouldn't follow the team again. I bet there are tons of Cowboys fans who 100% wanted that to be the case. Like, you're just saying with the Mavericks, but then this happens or this happens. You're like, oh my God, I love the stupid Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? And like, you just, you can't help it.
Yep. And as soon as I saw Cooper Flagg turn around, fade away, and score over Bronny James' face, I was like, I'm back. I'm so back. And I even saw Bobby Corella, our friend, he tweeted, and he was like, I deserve this. We deserve this.
Yes.
Like, we
fans
really
do for sure.
We deserve this, even if it is a stupid summer league game that isn't going to matter within... Really, 24 hours, nobody's going to be talking about it.
Right.
I do not care. I deserved to watch that one moment. Did he miss almost every other shot after that?
Yes.
Yes, Cooper Flagg missed pretty much every other shot after that.
Yeah, he did.
I don't care. I deserved that one moment as a Mavericks fan.
From the 682, Texas Tech football will win the Big 12 this year and earn a playoff bid. That would be awesome. And the cheeseburger bite hot dog is my go-to at the 7-Eleven. I do not think I am.
You ever tried that?
I don't think so.
You ever eat hot dogs from 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
I used to all the time as a kid.
Yeah.
That used to be my go-to item.
It was that was the dry. See, what we did whenever we were in Driver's Ed, because our Driver's Ed was right next to a 7-Eleven, we'd have a little break, right? And we'd walk over there, and before walking nachos were a thing, we made them. We would just open up a bag of Doritos or a bag of, you know, Cool Ranch Doritos or chili cheese or whatever cheese.
Yeah.
And then go over to the chili, pour it in there, cheese, pour it in there, roll the, seal the thing back up, and then just buy the bag of chips. Because the chili and cheese was free for the hot dogs, but you had to pay like a quarter if you wanted to put in the cheese in, on its own. So that was our life hack. And man, so we would, yeah, then we would walk back to the Driver's Ed class eating the walking nachos.
Okay. Man, I feel like I learned.
With an orange or yellow Gatorade.
Okay. All right. So we've talked about bold. This is bold as a sports opinion. Ezeraku will finish top three for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Really?
That would be badass. And the Celsius Energy Drink and Hot Cheetos are the go-to right there at the 7-Eleven. From the 817, man, I love that sports opinion. From the 817, Cowboys pay way too much on their salaries to not win in the playoffs. Agreed. Favorite item at 7-Eleven, Dr. Pepper Slurpee with a splash of Jim Beam.
Huh. The Jim Beam at the 7-Eleven?
You know, that's a good question. Is it your own Jim Beam? Do they sell Jim Beam at the...
It's from... From that guy 7-11? Sitting outside.
Okay, now that I definitely believe.
It's a great deal.
Like, I went, there's a 7-Eleven off of Broadway and 30, like right when you exit the highway. And I saw the clerk for the 7-Eleven try to shoo off what it appeared as though was probably a homeless person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, good for you for thinking that's going to stick. Because it does feel like almost every gas station now, there's like somebody hanging out there, yeah, either with their bike or their dog. Mm-hmm. And they, I, you know, one of the things I think about all the time is, has our movement towards the cashless society disproportionately impacted homeless people?
Dude, I never thought about that. That's pretty,
don't
pretty
you
deep
think,
thought.
Right?
Yeah, no,
because
it makes
used
sense.
To be like, oh, I don't have any cash.
Have
and
any
you're
coins.
Like, oh, how are you paying for whatever's inside? And you're like, I don't know.
Like this, that one guy, yeah, at the 7-Eleven, and he was like, can I borrow your phone? I was like, I don't have a cell phone. He was like, how do you not have a cell phone? I was like, how do you not have a cell phone? And he was like, I don't have a home. Then he got in a fight, and I pulled my phone out and recorded it.
What the hell, Corey?
I had to get to work.
World star.
He's like, you do have a phone, as he gets knocked into the ground.
So he had a point. You were lying.
I was lying.
But then he got in a fight and it undercut his position.
Yeah, because he went up to somebody else and was like, let me borrow your cell phone. And they were like, no.
All right.
But Kevin, I was at a 7-Eleven recently with my kid. There's a dude laying down, and it's 100 and something degrees outside. And we go inside, and on the way out, I thought Avery got an Arizona iced tea to drink, and he gave it to the guy. And he was like, going in, he was already thinking, hey, this guy needs something, dude.
So that is super nice. I was going to ask, do you guys ever reconsider where you're stopping if there's a whole bunch of people just like panhandling or sitting outside? Because it's not like a convenience store, depending on where you live, is hard to find. So like, do you ever rethink? You're like, all right, I'm going to go somewhere else.
When we were driving down to Galveston, mm-hmm, we were trying to stop at a gas station, and the whole gas pump was wrapped in police tape, so we did not stop there. Does that answer your question?
I mean, that's a pretty good reason.
It didn't look like they didn't have any gas, for one, but also, why is the police tape there?
It's a good point. Now, my sports opinion, John Gray is going to give us reason to believe again. So, John Gray... through two innings, one run ball in his first minor league rehab start Wednesday, Triple A Round Rock, came out of it feeling just fine. He's going to throw again on Sunday. Boach said he's going to expect it to throw three innings. He's going to come back after the All-Star break. He's going to give us reason to believe again. And then the go-to
can
item.
He hit?
No. Well, then again.
I bet he can.
What's the harm
in
trying?
He's playing the National League.
Yeah, that's true. What's
let's see
the
what
harm
his,
in trying?
Let's go see what his batting average was.
The go-to item at the 7-Eleven. You might not have tried this. Give it a shot. Their cookies, specifically their sugar cookies. They used to have these M&M cookies that were only at 7-Eleven. I mean, I know you can get variations of them also. They're really good. But now, like, the 7-Eleven brand sugar cookies are actually shockingly good.
He's a .091 hitter.
Okay, so he's 100 points off being our DH. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Look it up.
That's funny.
Yes, thank you, Boats. Hey, right, Boats. Here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, looking back at the Rangers' last 10 drafts and what that means for Sunday. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Fastball up and away. Terang strikes out a third time. And in 4 1/3 innings, Cole Reagans has 10 strikeouts.
That was a draft pick by the Texas Rangers. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Wanted to flip through the last 10 years of Texas Rangers drafting, kind of give you an idea of maybe what to expect on Sunday when we get the first few rounds, and then rounds 4 through 20 of the MLB draft will get completed on Monday.
Are we just discussing first round picks for the Rangers or history?
Yeah, like, we're going to go.
Was it about 4 years ago I did a study on their draft picks and like, who had turned out.
Right.
And it was Derek Holland and Joey Gallo over that like 15 year period before that. And that was very disappointing.
And so I'm going to give you some of the high and low points as opposed to if I listed every single draft pick that would beat us all down. All right. 2015. And thanks to Sean McFarlane for some of this information with the Dallas Morning News. 2015, first pick, the dreadful Dylan Tate. The fourth overall pick. And this is how you know it's going to be a rough one. Most productive selection, Pete Fairbanks. Think about what
he pitched for us for a second.
Yeah, he did. And that was the best one we got. And that gets a D minus.
Dylan Tate in 5 innings for Toronto this year has only given up 3 runs. And 7 hits.
So, 0 is 5.
It hasn't quite turned out. Okay. See, at the time, I couldn't remember. I remember them saying, starting pitcher capability, he's going to be a reliever.
Yeah.
And that, like, and we were like, you drafted a relief pitcher?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
So, D minus. Ooh. 2016. Mm. First selection, Cole Reagans. Best value, Joe Barlow. Once again. Joe Barlow showed a little something. Cole Reagans was your most productive selection, but not really for you. Sean McFarlane gave them a C. I think that is too high. I'll say D plus.
Okay.
2017. It exists. First pick, Bubba Thompson.
Dude, remember the love for Bubba Thompson around here? We all loved him.
Most productive selection. Jacob Latz. So I just want you to think about this. In 3 years, our most productive draft picks are Pete Fairbanks and Jake Latz and Cole Reagans, not for us. And those are your 3 most productive.
Cole Reagans for us?
What?
He got us Aroldis Chapman in a World Series.
Okay. He did. You know what? I'll move it to C minus.
Is there a possibility that Reagans could have been Aroldis Chapman that year instead?
Yeah.
All right.
Look, and that's the thing. He's been given plenty of chances here. Just didn't work out. 2018.
Oh my gosh, this year.
Here we go. First pick. Cole Whit.
Okay, dang it.
Most productive selection. Cole Whit.
Hey, Cole Whit was in recently.
He was. That is true. Jonathan Ornelius is your best value. This gets a C plus. Once again, that feels high. So
Colwin was looking very good at one point.
True.
And then got hit in the shin. And right after that, I don't know. And I'm not saying that it was the injury, like the shin injury. It shouldn't be.
It could have been a mental. Yeah.
But after that, he completely changed. And now he's trying to refine himself.
From the 817, we want all the picks, Kevin. I'm sorry. We just do not have time. For that.
The 214, who was in charge of those picks?
It was Kip Fagg. Look, we've talked about this time and again. I thought he was a JD guy, and when you kind of changed the regime around, but I know CY was kind of a JD guy as
well. He's a Rangers history guy now. He's 30 years, I think.
Yeah, and I don't totally understand it for some of these drafts, but I will let you decide if you think the tide has turned. So Sean McFarland for those 4 years gave them an average of a C minus at drafting. I think that's too high. So I would probably give them a D plus, which is not great, but it kind of feels like you've started to turn the corner.
Heck yeah, you did.
2019. I wish we would have done this before the season started. Josh Young.
Heck yeah, baby.
Was your first pick. He was an all-star starter 2 years ago. Now he's
going
to
find
minor leagues.
He's going to find it.
Is he? Right?
He's going to find it.
Okay.
He's back and he's going to be slugging again.
Best value. Cody Bradford.
Well, that's good.
I feel good about that.
I accept.
A minus. Still might be a little high, but I accept. 2020. This one is tricky. Justin Foscue was your first pick.
This is tricky to rock around.
It's tricky. Tricky. Totally tricky. All right. Most productive selection, Evan Carter, A+. So the thing about this is a couple of the picks you made helped facilitate the Jordan Montgomery trade, which, as we just talked about, clearly a top four part of why you won the World Series. If you wanted to make the argument he was number one, I would at least listen to that discussion.
Yeah.
And so Evan Carter, another huge part of that postseason run. Sean McFarland gives him an A+. I think that's high, but...
Because you don't like the way he jumps?
No. I just like, that's really good. That feels like an A or A-.
Okay.
But like, Jordan Montgomery's not on your team anymore. Evan Carter has struggled with injuries, and then who?
Justin Foscue can't find himself on the roster.
So A+ for that. That feels high for me. 2021, Jack Leiter. Still kind of undecided on that. And again, this is a theme for this. I think these grades are generous.
Okay.
So that's a B+. 2022. This is looking not so good. Kamar Rocker was your first pick. I think number three overall.
And wasn't that kind of an agreement too?
Correct.
We'll take you high.
Correct.
And we'll give
less
your
money.
Guy some more money, right?
Yes. Brock Porter.
But... You got to make sure we get this. It all balances out for us. So it ended up being a let's get Brock Porter in this because he has the same agent as Kamar Rocker. We're working a deal for him.
So one now wonders, has Brock Porter started to turn the corner? Last year, he was 0-4 in the minors with a 6.98 ERA. He's had to be shut down twice because they needed to kind of redo his pitching mechanics, and now he's no longer a starter. He is 5-1 with a 3.56 ERA this year at single A. And so the thing about that that's troublesome, and I know he was a high school kid, definitely understand all of that, but he got drafted 3 years ago and he's at single A and just now starting to maybe be productive.
From the 817, none of these guys are Larry Bird.
That is a great point.
Call back from the first couple segments.
That is a great point.
I will say, Kevin, it does look like Cole Drake was taken in the 11th round of that draft.
Cole Drake! Pick number 319. So the potential is
there. This is the dude that I'm... That's the value pick right there. If y'all hear Cole Drake's name, know you heard it here first.
B minus. 2023. First pick, Wyatt Langford. He has had a disappointing second season, but I think...
C+.
He gave him an A. That feels high to me as well. I think all these grades are perpetually high, but my point is you went from Cole Reagans, who did nothing for your team, Dylan Tate, Bubba Thompson, and Cole Wynn to Josh Young, Jack Leiter, Kamar Rocker, Justin Foscue, and Wyatt Langford, all of whom, now what their roles turn out to be long-term on the team, there is still a lot of undecided answers there. But it does feel like you're starting out at a significantly higher base than you were with the other group. Now, wanted to throw this out there. So 2015 through 2018, Sean McFarland gave them an average of a C-. I think that's too high. I'll give them a D+. 2019 through 2024, A-. Once again, I think that's too high. I think more like a B. So the point is, over the last 10 years, you have been decidedly mediocre at drafting at about a C.
Yeah. I mean, that's been consistent. And I do wonder what grades we would give the Dodgers. Like, let's go that through and funnel through. And yeah. I do wonder if we go, man, they're actually a B+, but that's the difference.
Yeah.
A B+ is that good.
For sure.
And can be that big of a deal. When you're drafting good, your whole salary structure changes. When you have young players that can be talented and win with you, everything changes there.
Now, I think they're about to radically change their first round strategy. Although I will point out, fair to say going through these picks, you feel significantly better about the last 6 years than the four before them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's where I think I am as well. So it feels like you're moving in the right direction. But take a look at specifically just some of the first round picks. So Malcolm Moore, college. Wyatt Langford, college. Kamar Rocker, college. Jack Leiter, college. And just same with Justin Foscue. So you've seen first round, college, 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 college. We talked about this the other day. Wanted to throw it out there one more time. If you look at what might happen on Sunday, there are three names kind of associated with the Texas Rangers in the first round. JoJo Parker, high schooler, and Steele Hall, high schooler, and Daniel Pierce, high schooler. I have heard all of those names heavily associated with the Rangers. So it's just fascinating that it seems as though they've gotten better at drafting, but they might be ready to make that high-risk, high-reward first-round pick in the draft on Sunday with the number 12 pick.
Kevin, Kylie McDaniel.
I like Kylie McDaniel.
Says Steele Hall. So that's Kylie's. And boom. Keep an eye on Talon Haley, Mason Pike, Josh Owens, and Micah Bucknum. So keep an eye, ear out for those names, too. And we'll have more information on those people Monday.
I still wonder if JoJo Parker is going to be the pick. If that would be the person that I would.
JoJo goes seventh to Miami Marlins, Kevin. So no, he can't be the pick if he already went seventh.
That is true.
Okay.
The baseball draft
is... don't get to trade up and down in the draft the same way, right? Like, it's weird.
And the baseball draft is more confusing in terms of, you mentioned with Rocker, they made the deal where if we pick you this high, will you take less than your slotted amount so I can send it to someone? Like,
And Rocker also was drafted before.
Yes.
Players get drafted two or three times.
Yes. You can theoretically... I can't remember who it was we talked to from the Rangers that got drafted five times.
Wow.
And so, yes, the baseball draft is a little wackier... But that might be some of the stuff I would look at. So I think the Rangers have gotten better over the decade at drafting, but still probably only mediocre.
And somebody did ask the question, is it the drafting or the development?
And that is, that's a great question because
I think the person in charge of the drafting is also in charge of the development.
And that's the thing is because I don't want to say that I'm too harsh with Kip Fagg, but... if he's also one of the people that's overseeing the organizational development, then you have to take the hit for that as well. On the flip side, though, if Evan Carter keeps rocking and rolling, if Wyatt Langford takes those steps up, if Josh Young, like you said, brings it back together, then he for damn sure gets the credit for scouting and the development of those players as well. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Will this player... he paid as a top five wide receiver by the start of the season. Next on The Fan.
Daniels fires what Colin McLaurin in stride. Breaks a tackle. Terry McLaurin is in. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. What say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Dip it and rip it.
You know what? And I promised at the beginning of the show to do a better job with a shout out Friday. We still got several here from the 469. Shout out to my crew. We worked from 7 a.m. yesterday to 2 a.m. last night due to contractors hitting a main water line.
Whoa.
And we worked all night to get people's water back on.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Heck
for doing that.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. From the 817, shout out to my cousins. They're in from El Paso because we're going all in.
That's what, oh,
I like
that's,
it.
That's this weekend.
Don't forget Costco, guys, coming up in about 35 minutes. And from the 682, today's my sister's birthday. Can you shout out Ashley Martinez? Done.
What are you doing today, Ashley?
Also, do you want to shout out people who just randomly stop by and give you $2?
Yeah, shout out to the boss.
With the $2 bill.
Yeah, he's got $2 bills handing out.
That's pretty cool.
I'm gonna give it to my kids. I'm gonna give these $2 bills to my kids. These one $2 bill. And much like that card, it was the Dr. J, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
That you pulled. And you were like, I will hold on to this for you guys. Colby gets a piece. And I get a piece. And you still haven't torn the perforation off of it and given me my car. But I will do this with this $2 bill. I will tell my kids to cut it into even three pieces.
No! That's not how that works. I think it needs to be... Look, I've always had this weird idea that you need at least 51% of the bill to either cash it in or like take it to a bank and get a new one.
I'm in with that.
And so what I've wondered is if you could configure all those other leftover pieces and like kind of extend make them out past 51% and like make a little extra cash by going to the bank or whatever. I don't know if you could just keep going to that same bank with all these cut up bills, but I was just curious about that. All right, let's talk about Tyler Booker. He has said the move from left guard to right guard has been a lot of fun. Then he added, you have to think a little bit more, but at the same time, it's the technique that you're a lot more cognizant of what you're doing with your body. It's not too hard because my freshman year at Bama, I would get two drives at left guard and two drives at right guard.
Yes. I'm interested in some of the things that he needs to think about, but obviously it is where your lead step is and stuff like there's a lot of things there. But physically,
yeah,
like this dude's already built like a man for the NFL. Like that's the
true.
There were a couple of things regarding Guyton and Beebe that I was concerned about, and that was strength in the NFL. I knew Beebe was tough, and whenever he gets strong enough, he is going to be a bully on the field. Like that is just an absolute fact. He is going to bully some people around. I think Booker's already at the point where he can bully people. But it is good to hear that he's being challenged, but he's also stepping into those challenges pretty well.
Man, that does seem to be the theme for our teams of the preseason, whether it's challenging Tyler Booker, challenging Cooper Flagg. Let's challenge the rookies.
Yeah, and
kinda like that.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're a player and you don't want to be pushed a little harder because I'm as good as I can be, you're never going to be great. You're just going to be there.
Agreed. Falcons owner... The Arthur Blank Foundation, well, Arthur Blank and the Arthur Blank Foundation donated $500,000 to Texas flood relief. We talked about this yesterday, I believe, with the Vikings. It is really cool in obviously a just horrible, horrible, horrible situation to see money continuing to try to get pumped in there to help continue rescue missions and things of those nature.
From the 903, I work in banking. It isn't 51% anymore. It's having both serial numbers is what matters.
Oh,
so you can just have the serial numbers.
You know why? Probably because somebody followed that. They said 51% anymore. That means somebody had probably tried this hack and the bankers got smarter. Let's go from that to Jared Goff owes the Lions punter free beer for a year. We didn't get a chance to mention this yesterday, but one of the things in the quarterback series is that Jared Goff said that if Jack Fox, the Lions punter, led the league in net punting yards, which he then went on to do, that he said, I will get you Bud Light for a year.
Nice.
And right after that last game, the punter goes, you owe me Bud Light for a year.
Like immediately said it?
Yes, immediately, like once the game
over,
ended.
He walked over and he was like, hey, QB, it's time. How many cases is that? Is that like one per week?
Or, one case per week?
Yeah, like
that feels reasonable.
Bud Light for a year, is that a beer a day?
See, because you'd be better off with a case a week.
Yeah.
But I always do wonder that when they say for life, I'm like, what's the interpretation? Your interpretation?
Yeah. And
of how much McDonald's I should have been eating that day or my interpretation?
Because we've had Papa John's for a year.
And it was.
And it's 52 yeah, cards, one exactly. pizza per week. And exactly. so that is technically a year.
Yes.
And if you eat the pizza, if you eat one slice a day, that's seven slices. You get one slice left over.
That is true. Man, that feels like such a weird thing to do. I've ordered this new pizza. I will eat one piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow another, and then another.
And in a leap year, you got an extra piece, an extra day.
There's
days.
Not an eighth day added to that week.
How do they add the day then? That's the weird thing.
Okay, Corey, I just want to make this clear. It's still 52 coupons for 52 weeks. One of those weeks is not 8 days long. You just shift it over into the start of the next week.
So at the end of the weeks, mm-hmm. at the end of the weeks, then that extra day should exist.
But you didn't get a 53rd coupon, so it doesn't.
Oh,
you know what?
Tough.
I don't think we have that Papa John's connection anymore. Otherwise, I would like some sort of like Papa John's tribunal. And then you argue that every fourth year you should get one extra coupon. And they're like, fine.
Why?
Stop asking us about this, Mr. Majors. We granted your request 4 years ago.
Thank you. Something from the 817. I think Corey's onto something.
No,
thank you.
He's not. This is like my wife who said that second Wednesday should be a thing. And in her scenario, there's a second Wednesday every week where everyone just gets to like hang out and catch up on things. And I'm like, what kind of things?
What is first Wednesday?
It's you still have to work.
Okay.
But like then there will be a second Wednesday.
Huh?
And then you can just relax and catch up on things. And I was like, what if you want to go out to eat? And she's like, you could do that. And I was like, who's working there? Second Wednesday, everybody's off. And then that ignores how you eventually shift the calendar and the seasons. And she goes, that's for other people to figure out.
In this scenario, you still have the weekend.
Correct.
You still have first Wednesday.
Correct.
You still have all the other days.
Yep.
You've now inserted an eighth day, which you said could not happen a minute ago.
Did you see somebody who texted and said, you'll never have 8 days in a week with that attitude, Kevin? That's fair.
So you're inserting another day in the middle of the week.
Right.
For kind of a weekend in the middle of the week, which Mike always was I'll take a day in the middle of the week as opposed to a day that'll give me 4 days straight. Remember, he would always take a random, like, weird Wednesday off? That's pretty genius, actually. I think Jess is smart.
I also think Jess is smart. I do not think this is her most logistically feasible
idea. Who do we send this to?
President of the world.
E.O.
Because I feel like you have to get the whole world on board with this, right? Because then if you got business deals in Singapore, you can't be like, oh, I meant second Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the hell did you just say?
Yeah, you can't just send it to this president. He's like, less holidays, not more holidays.
This is not a political stance. This is just a thought. Corey told me that our president said, it's a proven fact that people want less holidays.
It's costing the companies billions.
Okay, I don't disagree with
nobody
that
in America wants.
But that's a select few people who run these companies. All the regular people are like, hell yeah, I want another holiday.
Give me all the days off.
All right,
the salary.
Let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. It looks like he's probably going to start the season on PUP, though the 49ers have not ruled him out for week one. But it's not looking particularly promising. Did you see that Najee Harris suffered what his agent called, quote, a superficial eye injury in a fireworks accident?
That stinks, dude.
That is a little scary.
I remember being in New Mexico. They do, in Carlsbad, they do a huge fireworks show there. And I remember being there, and me and my cousins just kind of started walking forward, and the fireworks started, and we just kind of kept walking, but we were looking up. And at one point, I looked down, and there was a fireman standing right there in our face. And he was like, y'all got to back up. And then when I looked back up, they were like, the embers were falling down on us. They didn't explode in our face, but they were falling down on us. I was like, oh man, that could be real bad. And that's very scary to have it blow up in your face like that.
Agreed. But they say it's superficial. He shouldn't miss any time. All right. Question for you guys. Do you think Terry McLaurin, because I think we all agree he'll eventually get paid. How well do you think he'll get paid? Do you think he'll get paid like a top five wide receiver? Right now, A.J. Brown is the fifth highest paid wide receiver at $32 million a year.
He's the fifth?
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance?
I think McLaurin deserves that for what he's done.
Yeah.
For this team, because nobody wanted to play for Washington, and he just kept battling. And he was fighting through bums as quarterbacks. And now he finally has one, and they're like, nah, he's the quarterback's more important than you.
You think he'd go for like 30, though?
I don't think he will be paid in the top five. But I think he'll get a very nice contract that serves him well. It's just more than I think I'm concerned about the union, and do they think he's a top five? And are they like, no, you have to keep fighting for top five money. This is what we do. I wonder where he stands on that.
Sometimes I wonder if those stances are too, or that line is drawn too rigidly where you're like, no, you have to fight for top five. And they're like, they'll pay me seventh.
Yeah.
And you're like, I mean.
And you might be the seventh receiver.
Like exactly.
Whenever your agent's laying all this stuff out, is it fair to say your numbers put you number seven?
Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do a little NFL overreaction or reality as we move into the noon o'clock hour next right here in The Fan.